my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, it is your pick and a movie I never thought you'd actually pick, but we're going back, Dave, to 1995. And this one is a science fiction horror film called Species. So I did mention last week about the VHS cover, and it definitely is iconic. But where do you remember seeing this one, Dave?
Well, Chris, this is actually a little bit embarrassing, right? So I remember seeing this about 96 in the video shop. And just, you look at the iconic video cover, and I remember thinking to myself, holy shit, this is the most beautiful woman I think I've ever seen in my life. Now, I don't think I ever said any words to that effect, but I was also in a young relationship at the time, Chris, not in an Operation U-Tree way, you know, just two people, same age, just together. And when I look back in hindsight, she was a little bit intense. So, Yeah. You know, if I arranged to go out with friends or anything, I think I might have told you this before at a pub or something. I mean, I would always have to, you know, have a debate about it for a good hour or something where I could negotiate going out with my friends. And then she'd turn up with her friends at the same place. And all of this was, you know, just normal at the time. And when I look back, I was like, that wasn't fucking normal, was it? But I didn't know. And when I made an attempt at various times to say, oh, should we watch this one? It was like, no chance. So I was not allowed to watch this movie, Chris. But I always wanted to. And so, again, it's like horror, science fiction. It's right in my wheelhouse, but it's got this beautiful lady in it as well. It's like, fucking hell, why wouldn't I want to watch that? And it's just one of those that over the years, I've just never actually gone back and watched it. Now, I did catch bits of it. It was on late night TV at some point I'm talking in the last 10 years or something, but I didn't watch it all the way through. So this is actually the first time I've watched this all the way through. But yeah, like I say, I thought I'd share that sort of cringy backstory to it as well.
I think that's one of the things, you did the right thing with that relationship, Dave. Because fucking hell.
People don't tell you this shit. Like, you don't really know. You know, it's not really obvious at the time, like I say, how unhealthy it all was.
Yeah, and look, it comes with experience, and it's only like years later you look back and go, holy shit, what was I doing? You know, so people say you should have got out before, you should have done this. You don't know. When you live in it, it's normal, isn't it? It just becomes a normal behavior. Yeah. So yeah, and but Dave, I get it. I totally get it. Now, in respect to myself, I said last week I've never seen this. However, I do think it's a proper 90s iconic VHS cover, because it's just there, present. It always felt like it was, I always thought it was a bit of an offshoot of the Alien movies, where obviously it wasn't, but there is links there to obviously the Alien movies. But yeah, look, it's a horror movie. There's no way I was going to pick it, Dave. If it wasn't martial arts or some action movie, buddy cop thing, whatever, it was not getting picked. But I was interested. And the one thing that has interested me more than anything, Dave, oh, there is a lot of bear flesh. And when I say bear flesh, I mean female flesh, Dave. So it may have tipped it the other way, that I may have actually rented this one out. But no, unfortunately, I've not seen it until this point.
Awesome. Well, before we go off into another band tangent, Chris, I guess, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
In January, a message from an extraterrestrial source was picked up at the Parkes Observatory in Australia. A new sequence of DNA, friendly instructions on how to combine it with ours.
This growth is amazing.
The decision was made to terminate the experiment.
escaped. We have a serious emergency on our hands.
I want a team to track her. Hunt her down.
You created a monster. Now you want us to kill it.
We decided to make it female so that it would be more docile and controllable.
More docile and controllable. I guess you guys don't get out much.
She wants to have a baby.
She'll kill anyone that gets in her way.
I wouldn't hurt you.
Yes, you would. Just don't know it yet.
She'd have a dozen babies. She could lay 1,000 eggs.
Something's wrong.
Get out! Open the damn door!
Hey! Oh, God.
During the SETI program, Earth scientists send out transmissions with information about Earth and its inhabitants, DNA structure, etc., in hopes of finding life beyond Earth. They then receive transmissions from an alien source on how to create endless fuel effortlessly. Therefore, the scientists assume that this is a friendly alien species, and from a second alien transmission, the scientists receive information about an alien DNA along with instructions on how to splice it with human DNA. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Oh, Dave, I'm so glad I didn't read that plot synopsis then, my friend. you know what? It caught me off guard, this, because I wasn't sure where it was going. Obviously, we've watched a few of these stupid comedy ones, haven't we? The one with Jeff Goldblum, where they come down and all that crap. And you know what I mean? Like, there's been some proper shit comedy 80s ones. This, I was not sure what it was about, what the context of it all was. Obviously, Natasha Henstridge is absolutely stunning. And yeah, it starts off pretty gruesome. So I was thinking, is it going to be like a 12 or a 15? No, I'd say it's pretty much an 18 or an R-rated or X-rated, is it, in America?
Mm.
This, you know what, Dave? I actually enjoyed it. I think it's got a really good cast. You know, Ben Kingsley, Alfred Molina, Forest Whitaker, you know, Michael Madsen as well. Pretty strong. It's quite a small cast, even though the budget was $35 million. But I do think that the effects still hold up to this day. And obviously, the alien is just fucking horrible. And you know, there's a few times, Dave, where Woody, I've risked it for getting my throat ripped out by an alien to just cop a feel. I would have said yes. I probably would have said yes. It's still one day.
If you were Alfred Molina's character, right, and you knew how it was going to end, it would still require some thinking time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. At least it's a good way to go out. Well, not on top, on the bottom, but it's a good way to go out. Because it is, it's very bizarre. Obviously, she grows at like a massive rate, doesn't she? The alien just, you know, Syl, she's a little kid, and then it just escalates from there. But I do like it, and I do like the sort of, I know the scientists, but if it was me, Dave, against this fucking superhuman alien who they can't kill, there is no fucking way I'd be chasing him, Dave. I know Michael Madsen's sort of like the alien hunter in this, and he's like the tough guy and all this, but
he's basically Mr. Blonde.
Yeah, he is basically, yeah, same character, really, but he's a tough guy, and Alfred Molina is there for his Whitaker. They're part of this group together with, and Ben Kingsley's obviously a bit of a baddie, I suppose, isn't he? Because he's quite determined, but ultimately they're trying to do these experiments. But I think it's a good film. I think it holds up well. It's, bloody hell, it's 27 years or 28 years old. It's still up there, Dave. You know, it really is. I think the effects are good. The violence, and I didn't know what to expect. So when she starts like going through the motions of picking up different guys, I'm like, she's fucking stunning, Dave. There's got to be some of the best breasticles we've ever seen in these fucking movies. I'm not saying it's not at Elle McPherson levels, Dave, but do you know what, unbelievable. Not for me, no.
That was going to be my question about how they would compare, because, impressive, Chris. Very impressive.
Very impressive. Very perky, Dave, shall we say, for an alien. Very perky. But I do like the way Syl, like, integrates herself and copies. And I tell you what, Dave, at the start of the movie, when she is Natasha Henstridge, you know, she's an adult as such, a young adult. How many people are just giving a shit for free. For nothing, Dave. That woman gives us these people just handing her stuff and she doesn't even speak, but then she's mimicking them, isn't she? She's copying the words, and that's how she sort of picks up on the human dialogue. So I like that about her. People think she's a lovely person, but underneath she's this absolute maniac. And there's a few guys where I kept thinking, she's not going to kill him. But yeah, honestly, I think it's a great movie. I jumped a little bit there, but I just, interesting character. And I will be honest here, Dave. I've got to be completely transparent. I was dying for that every time she got with a bloke. I was like, come on, she's going to get a fucking kit off again, isn't she? She's a stunning lady. She is. I would have been 16 when this come out. You know what I mean? She's stunning in this, Dave.
Yeah, she is. But, I mean, just going back to before we get to Natasha Henstridge, which I know is difficult not to race ahead a little bit, blow our load too early. So Michelle Williams plays young Syl.
Yes.
And there's some dialogue in there. And like, Ben Kingsley, I wasn't expecting to show up. So Xavier Fitch. And he says, we decided to make it female so it would be more docile and controllable. I'm like, have you fucking met any females in your life? Yeah. Or have you just been in the lab your whole adult life? What the fuck with that line?
The thing is, Dave, that's like men. Men are docile and controllable. Women are not docile and controllable. Having been married for 25 years, Dave, I can confirm that I am the docile and controllable one, Dave. Let's be honest here. And I like it that way. But yeah, that's aged very badly, that line on it as well. But oh my God. But I think as well, though, Dave, like the pretense, so she ages 12 years in 3 months, doesn't she? So there is a bit of a time stamp. And they're trying to find her because she breaks away from like the experiment and all that stuff. Because she's uncontrollable. You cannot do anything with her. But then when sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, though, I was kind of on her side for a bit at the start because they were just like, oh, shit, you know, it's not working out. We've got a fucking killer. Like, not much of a debate or anything. And then it's like, you bunch of arseholes. So when she's kind of running off, I'm like, well, fucking hell, good on you. You know, it didn't seem to me that there was enough kind of debate or anything about, should we do this? I mean, yes, she's got a bit of alien DNA, but I mean, it is sort of a person as well. And, you know, she didn't ask to be created. So, yeah, I was kind of on the side of Syl for a bit there.
You know what, Dave? That is in my actual notes. And I genuinely was pulling for her the whole movie. Not pulling for Chris Phelps, Spider Dan's just spat his drink out. Or Blake. But that's probably a Chris Phelps classic there, saying that sort of word. But no, she's actually, even though she's a baddie, she just wants to sort of be, she wants to mate, doesn't she, ultimately? That's what we find out about it. However, you're right, they fucking created her. They've created the monster. And none of them are really, like, you know, Forest Whitaker, Alfred Molina are probably the nicest ones of the group, aren't they? Like, the others are all, like, even Michael Madsen, you know, he's getting his rocks off through it and he's just after, you know, the alien sort of thing. But I wouldn't say any of them I was happy with. And every time she killed someone, the only ones I felt sorry for was the random bloke she was picking up. But I think that's such a good point. Even though she's supposed to be the big bad, you sort of see it from the alien's perspective more than you do the goodies as such, and I'm air quoting there, Dave. So I think that's a really good point. It's a really interesting movie.
Yeah, yeah. And she's having these flashbacks, isn't she? These dreams and stuff. So she hasn't come with this master plan. You know, she's just going off instinct, really. But, you know, I felt like the people keep giving us stuff. So the girl in the woman in the train, like, gives her all this food and stuff, and, you know, she kills her off, and that's when she goes into this cocoon, isn't it? So that's when you go from young Syl to Natasha Henstridge Syl. And when she picks up that first bloke, you know, he first of all, it's a bit fucking weird, isn't it? Hey, I've just took you back, I'm just gonna jump in the shower. It's a bit weird, mate. But and then he gets a little bit fucking rapey, doesn't he? Yeah. Like, he gets a little bit fucking aggressive with her. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm with Syl here. Fucking kill him. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, not necessarily skewer him through the head with a, and it's almost like an alien thing, wasn't it? Like from Alien and Aliens. Like
yeah,
the proper xenomorph effect there.
Yeah, sorry to cut across. You're so right. You know, in these movies, don't you? Even though we know that she's an alien, she's done a little bit of killing in it, which is, you know, any killing is bad. Let's be honest, a little bit of killing. But you're right. That guy just turns into a complete wanker. So straight away, you know, oh, he's dead. He's dead. You know, he's like, you're not going anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And when they start kissing, Dave, I wasn't expecting a fucking tongue to take the back of his fucking throat out and his neck. I mean, it's pretty gruesome. However, as I said before, it genuinely still stands up. There's nothing in it really where I went, oh, that looks fucking terrible all its time. I was quite content with the effects. It didn't feel like it was a mid-90s movie, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, oh, what was it we watched? It was Beowulf, wasn't it? I mean, obviously, it's a different budget. But the effects in that were horrendous. Whereas, you know, here, it's got that good mixture of kind of practical effects and the CGI, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's very clever and very well put together. And you're right. And from this moment, her killing this guy, obviously the scientists are trying to track her. They're always that one step behind, aren't they?
Mm.
Every time. Some of the guys she picks up, Dave, I mean, fuck me. The one of them, when she picks him up and gets him in the hot tub, he must have thought all his fucking Christmases had come together, but then obviously he dies. So it's not the greatest pickle. But he helps her because she gets run over, doesn't she? She gets like
in
hospital and he's genuinely concerned for her, isn't he? He's like, you know, because I was thinking, oh, she's going to go easy on this guy because he looks like a really good guy. You know, he looked out for her, he's helped her. Oh, no. He gets fucking decimated. It would take a month to clear that fucking hot tub out. What, you know, the poor bloke. And even then, I'm still pulling for a day, which is, especially in a lot of them scenes.
I mean, that guy, though, I couldn't really work it out because, yeah, he was sort of being a nice guy, wasn't he? But again, she's absolutely stunning. So he's giving up, like, she hasn't got insurance, which, you know, obviously if you're in America, you're a bit fucked, aren't you? Without insurance. So it's just, just put her on my insurance. And I was thinking, look, if this was like Susan Boyle or someone not absolutely stunning, would he be quite as nice as this? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I agree.
But, I mean, when she's trying to get his shorts off, and he's like, oh, the doors go in there.
Like, I know.
Come
what?
On, mate. Just fucking
the door.
They can come back if it's important.
Honestly, it's so true that you've got an absolute 10 or an 11, and you've hit all the fucking jackpots you can think of. It's like, hang on a minute. There's someone that I don't give a fuck who it is at the door. We are.
Yeah.
Best 30 seconds of your life. Oh, my God.
Well, I think it goes a bit off for me. So she kidnaps the woman, doesn't she? Because she knows that the people, the scientists are chasing her. She's just like, oh, fuck off. I just want to shag. Just fuck off and leave me alone. And she kidnaps the woman. And then she cuts her thumb off, doesn't she? So she knows that, you know, that will be evidence of her. And so she kills, you know, she puts the woman in the car and stuff, kills her, you know, and then they find the body and then they find this convenient thumb, you know. And again, like crime scene investigators and stuff, Chris, they'd be able to tell that was cut off. It wasn't ripped off. You know what I mean? It's like, so obviously didn't completely think that through, but I'm thinking, look, Silly's a few days old. How has she got this elaborate fucking plan to leave the DNA and everything? I know she's driven by instinct, isn't she, from this, you know, alien DNA. But I just thought that was a slight stretch too far for me that she would come up with this massive elaborate plan. And then the scientists are like, well, that's a fucking case wrapped up, isn't it? Let's go have a beer. And, you know, kind of Mr. Blonde is saying, oh, you know, I don't think that it's going to be this easy and whatever. And, I don't know. What do you think of that? The way the elaborate plan and then the scientists just falling for it hook, line and sinker.
I think because she's mimicking people, it's difficult to understand how you would get to that point, Dave. She's just mimicking, isn't she? She's like hunting, really. So it's almost a Predator type movie, isn't it, really? She's she's after, as in the Predator franchise, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't mean... Okay, that's terrible.
It's not like a Jimmy Savile documentary.
Yeah. Well, there's worse people to Predator, you know, than the Sargentries. I know it's something. I agree with you. Like, it is a little bit of a stretch. I think that she has that intelligence, but also them following her. I still don't understand why. I know they've created her. Just fucking decimate her. Get the army involved, and Ben Kingsley's going, we can't say, what are we gonna say? And it's like, she's fucking killing people. Like, surely someone somewhere's going, hang on a minute, these guys' back ends of the throats have been ripped out and stuff. There's a serial killer on the loose, you know. So yeah,
let into all these crime scenes and stuff, no problem. But do you not think that maybe this is all not completely above board? You know, maybe these are like illegal experiments or something. So actually they can't notify the army because no one knows about them or something.
Yeah, I think so. You could almost say it was like, I suppose, a bit like a Wolverine type thing, isn't it? You know, like where he's experimenting, but they shouldn't
Weapon
be.
Weapon X.
Yeah, Weapon X. You know, they're trying to do all that sort of thing. And obviously, Dave, they've sent out a fucking DNA thing to the universe and some aliens have gone, oh, hang on a minute, someone's trying to ring us here. Right, I'll just send it back. You know, the idea behind it is a bit silly, but I think the execution of the movie is quite good. And the action's good as well, because when you see her in a proper alien form and then she does a runner, I'm thinking, all right, she's going to be an alien, but no, she can change back. She comes back to herself, doesn't she? And when she gets the woman, like you said, that's the bit where she pretends to be a rape victim, doesn't she? And she gets the woman and kidnaps her. And I must admit, Dave, the sleazy side of Chris is thinking, hang on a minute. Well, she's got with some guys. Is there some woman action going on here? What's next for this fucking movie Dave's picked? She can drive as well at this point. You know what I mean? She can drive. And
my mind's going to the sirens then.
Fucking brilliant. Fucking best fucking knockers we've ever seen in that film. Anyway. Who were a matron. We'll go back to the 70s, Dave, you know. But anyway, that sounds so fucking wrong. We get cancelled.
Seedy as hell here, haven't we?
Yeah. But all of a sudden, in the movie, obviously she cuts her hair, doesn't she? She goes from blonde to brown hair. Prefers blonde, I must admit. But then you see the dreams of Michael Madsen, thinking, surely you could have picked someone better than him. He shows him in his vest and tattoos, Dave, and I'm like, come on, he's not exactly Van Damme, is he? Van Damme was a specimen, or, you know, Dolph Lundgren, someone around that time. We've got a fucking Michael Madsen, you know what I mean? She just looks like some New York cop or something, but for some reason, that's who she's fixated on and having her babies. But when they're in the hotel block and the scientists are very close, don't realize how close they are, and Alfred Molina falls for a day, knowing he's seen all these people get killed, but he risks it for a fucking chocolate biscuit. And he's like, right, let's go. Fucking give it to me. And he's, for some reason, he's got the cojones to impregnate her straight away, doesn't he? You know, it's like, this is what she wanted. But fucking hell, Dave, there is, as you said before, what a way to go out. It's a fucking magnificent way to go.
He lasts for quite a while, I have to say.
Longer than me, Dave, anyway.
I mean, you have to question, like I say, I mean, I guess the film wants us to think, well, all the scientists think she's dead now. You know, so they're they're all just having a beer, and you could see his failed attempts earlier at trying to chat someone up at the bar, and then the women that he's trying to chat up, you know, their husbands or boyfriends come along. So, you know, he's obviously on the prowl, you know, him and Forrest Whitaker. And then someone's just in his room waiting. Okay, well, he doesn't even think for a second, you know, he doesn't really question it at all. But like I say, I even know the outcome, and I'd debate it. so he, like I say, that bit is quite haunting, where he's like, oh, you know, she says, oh, I can feel it growing. And he's like, no, it doesn't happen that quick. And then the belly starts to get bigger, and he's like, oh, shit, this is not going to be good, is it? But they find them all. But what I wanted to say about Michael Madsen is, I think what they're trying to say is, so he was clearly like the alpha male. He was the badass in the group.
Yes.
And so that was what made him like the perfect mate for her, you know, offspring kind of thing. So, yeah, I could see why for the movie she got quite obsessed. And then you got this weird kind of side, like, not mission, but side story where Michael Madsen and one of the lady scientists, you know, she had a bit of a thing for him. I just wasn't really sure what the point of that little side story was. But you know, I think she kills off Melina. And then, like you say, she legs it. And then it starts to get more alien from this point, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. And just one last thing, and Alpha Melina, it does go more alien at this point. He knows that she's been going around just wanting to mate with people. What doesn't make sense with that whole interaction, stroke intercourse, Dave, is that he only realizes at the end who she is. It's like he's just some geeky scientist who's pulled a fucking 11 out of 10. And he doesn't. She throws him onto the bed like he's a fucking, like a twig or something. And he doesn't at all question, because his dick's going hard and he's like, fuck this, I'll think about this later. It's ridiculous, that bit. I must admit, that really does take the piss. From everything we've seen in the movie, everyone else is unaware who this absolutely stunning girl is. They're just like, oh my God, I cannot wait to tell my mates I have pulled this, you know, the most beautiful girl in the world. But Alpha Melina's purposely chasing and knows, and just because she cuts her hair and puts it, it's like Clark Kent putting the glasses on, Dave. You know, it's like, I didn't even know it was you. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that is a really silly moment.
Clearly not the alien. Clearly not Syl, because you don't have blonde hair. You're just equally stunning and just happen to be weirdly in my hotel room for no reason.
Yeah.
But my mind's eye just gifted me a comedy image where, because they run in, don't they, and Alfred Molina's like dead on the bed. Just imagine him just with a massive smile on his face still.
No body or anything, because he's weird, isn't it? I tell you what did make me jump though, Dave, is when all the others realise that Arden is the one. You know, it's Forrest Whitaker's character who, he's good in this, Forrest Whitaker as well. He's Smithson, isn't he? Dan Smithson. It's when they realise where she is. And they go to open his door and they're about to break, and she fucking flies and smashes through the wall. That proper baby jump. That's a great scene, that. That is a really good scene. And that's when, she goes into the sewers and they think, fuck it, let's follow her down there. I know why, because it's where we see the fact that she gives birth to the baby. And that kid, Dave, great little acting by the kid. You know, he's there, isn't he? You know, like, she gives birth to this kid and he's covered in all the bloody jelly and that, but ultimately he kills somebody and then obviously he gets incinerated. I think that end bit's quite gruesome, but really well put together.
It is, and like you say, the effects are pretty good. I don't know though. I wasn't sure what the end was. You know, I wasn't sure if I was satisfied with it or not. I mean, the effects are good. You know, you get the tension. You know, you get Ben Kingsley, Xavier kind of killed off, and you're like, well, yeah, it is all kind of your fault in the first place, so you deserve it. And then, you know, like you say, they incinerate the kid, you get the eating of the rat and stuff. I just think I don't know. It kind of fizzles out a little bit at the end for me. But that's my gut talking. Even though, like I say, there still seems to be plenty going on. There was just some secret sauce missing.
Yeah, I think you're right, to be honest. And I think the idea is it's setting up for a sequel, which I think there was sequels one of the day.
Yeah,
Species.
Yeah.
There was a couple, because obviously the rat. Having told you about a story I had about a rat, which happened yesterday, I think that may have been from Species because it was fucking
huge.
Come on,
tell us story. So, had me in stitches.
What was it? Justice now. So, my job as a maintenance, I call myself an engineer, I suppose, Dave, but I've done it for years. It's my job, and I do call out. So, usually, I'd one the other night. Someone's destroyed an advertising panel or a bus shelter or whatever. It's usually a bus, a truck, a car. If they're not vandalizing, people are driving into them, pissed up or whatever. And I had a nightmare on the other night. So on Friday night, I'm thinking, right, I've had a few this week. Not bad for money, I'll be honest with you, Dave. It fucking gets us to Vegas and back. Love it. However, I get a phone call. In my 20 years of doing this job, I need to just go to a bus shelter. There's a dead rat in the bus shelter. And I'm going, what? There's a dead fucking rat. That's exactly how I said it. I went, well, what do you want me to do with that? I went, I'm not fucking touching it. No, we need to get it out because it's in the footprint of our, bus shelter. It's down. I said, no way it's down. So it's got the environmental health. No. So anyway, Friday night comes. I think, right, I'm going to go early Saturday morning. Let's fucking go. So I hear a noise outside at 3:40, which is when I used to get up for work. And I jumped up. There was no one there. And I was like, fuck it. Let's go. Not had a drink or anything on Friday, so I was like, we're going to go. Gets to these bus shelters, couldn't see anything. Pulls up to the bus shelter in question, and I realised why I had to go and do it, because it was a narrow pathway, and the bus shelter is what we call a screen to curb, so the glass is facing, is right touching the road, really. And there's no gap underneath the bus shelter. So this fucking rat, or should I say, Dave, fucking cat, it was massive. And this is at 4:30 in the morning. He's in the bus shelter and I'm going, and there's no one around. It's usually a busy road and it's next to industrial estate, which is where it comes from. And I'm thinking, this is like a fucking horror movie or something. What the fuck is it? Its tail was massive, Dave. It was like a cat. I'm not exaggerating. It was fucking huge. So I'm going, holy shit. So I get my brush out. My brush is like a 6-7 foot brush and I am there. Fully extending it near my van so I can jump in the van and shut the door if it's alive. And I'm not usually scared of stuff like that, but there was just something eerie about it because it's pitch black. And I'm like, oh, this isn't fucking good. So I start prodding it with the fucking brush from miles away. And I'm thinking, it's dead. Is it playing dead though? I've seen this in movies. It's going to, it's shorts.
Just
so I'm thinking, it's asleep. It's going to crawl up my fucking shorts here and bite my bollocks off on my fucking shrimp dick. I'm like, oh my God, no. I was everything, I don't know what it was. Everything was going through my mind. So eventually I plucked up the courage, fucking, hero here, gets me shovel. And I'm like, well, this is not going in the back of my van because if it is playing dead, this is going to fucking have me and I'm not fucking taking it back to my house. So I picked it up on the shovel, ran across the road and literally javelin throwed it with the fucking shovel into the bushes and then legged it. Yeah, and fucking legged. No, when you see fucking lacrosse when they throw the fucking ball, I fucking legged it and shut the fucking van, Dave. Absolute coward. I couldn't get out of there quick enough. And my fucking mate was like, wait, he's my bot. He rings me. Yes, did you get rid of that rat? I went, oh, fuck off. He went, I think we should have gone down the environmental. I said, oh, you fucking think? I said, he's all made me go and do it, you fucker. Oh, Dave, it was horrendous. So that rat had definitely come from the Species fucking DNA line. I'm telling you, it was massive. What a coward I was, I must admit.
I don't suppose you remember in Princess Bride, you've got the rodents of unusual size, haven't you? These big, massive fucking rats and... It starts attacking him, but I'm just imagining one of those things. And honestly, I would be the same. Just pictured.
Such a coward.
Just picture you with this fucking brush, just
honestly
gingerly at first, prodding it, just in case it's asleep and it fucking wakes up and starts to go for
me.
You.
Then I'm looking round thinking his mates aren't going to come as well, are they? Because they can smell
Jesus
it. Imagine that. Oh my God. such a coward. All in I must admit, the hours of the morning. Yeah, 4 in the morning. Man attacked and killed by dead rat. Yeah, that would have been good, wouldn't it? But I can imagine why we got the call, because people would have been walking and honestly, they would have shit themselves. People would have been jumping in the fucking road. You know what people are like with mice and rats?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, it's not like, say, it was 10 feet behind the shelter or whatever. It was fucking there, Dave. I'd have jumped out of the skin if I'd seen that. You know, you're just walking on your phone or something. Oh, my God. It was a proper fucking shithouse moment.
Yeah, fuck that. But it's kind of fitting that this was yesterday. And like you say, you have that kind of, you have the rat kind of chewing on Syl's tentacles and starting to kind of mutate and stuff. So, and then it eats the other rat. So, like you say, it's the classic kind of setting up for another sequel. Now, budget-wise, I think it was $35 million budget, and it made over $113 million. So, you know, there's always going to be a sequel, but obviously I've never seen that. I think she is in it, actually, the second one. So, you know, might have to watch that at some point, Chris.
Yeah, well... Maybe this is the series of movies we never thought we'd cover, Dave. But then again, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, even if she is in it, though, I don't think you would probably, for a sequel like this, probably you wouldn't get like a cast like this. I mean, I was really surprised just how many familiar faces there were. I mean, Ben Kingsley. Okay, like he did Iron Man 3 and he's been in a few things since, hasn't he? So he does do genre stuff, but like a horror sci-fi movie like this, I didn't think he's got a fucking Oscar for playing Gandhi, like, you know? I assume I associate him with more kind of serious stuff and not genre stuff like this. And then, like I say, I mean, Forest Whitaker, he must have won an Oscar as well, mustn't he? Pretty sure. Didn't he do it for The Last Scotsman or something like that? So, really great cast. And I'm assuming the second one's going to be a bit more of a B-movie.
Oh, my God. Well, put it this way. Right, so I've gone down the rabbit hole. I never checked what the ratings were for this first one, but the ratings are pretty terrible. 42% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.3 on IMDb. They all slate it. One of the best lines is, I could read this one day. This is a fucking great line. Species shows flashes of the potential to blend exploitation and sci-fi horror in ingenious ways, but is ultimately mainly interested in flashing Natasha Hendricks' skin. What is your fucking problem, mate? That's got to be a 5 out of 5. What a wanker.
That's not fresh. Yeah.
What is your problem? But when you go, we may have to do the second one, Dave. So the second one has got the same cast, Michael Madsen, Natasha Hendricks, Marge Helgenberger, no Forest Whitaker, but obviously no Alfred Molina, but it's got them in it, Dave. It's got a 9% rate on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, we might have to do it.
We're going to have to do that at some point. We're going to have to. A 1 out of 5 on the box office magazine as well. So it's one of the worst films and sequels we've ever seen.
Oh my God, have to watch that. And there is a third one as well, did you see? But that was a sci-fi channel sponsored thing. So, I mean, that will be even worse, I imagine.
Oh God, 100%. So we're going to, at some point, that's from 98, we're going to have to watch that. That is going to be a belter, Dave. Even though I don't like horror movies, just to know it's 9%, it must be fucking terrible.
I think one of the worst sequels that we have to do at some point is Highlander 2. Apparently that is horrendous. I don't think I've seen it. You know what? I probably have, but I remember absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I have seen it, definitely, but one and done. It's like the RoboCop sequels. Terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful. But yes, no, we'll have to do that at some point, definitely.
Cool. Well, Chris, should we get into our final review?
Let's go. Dave, what was really interesting about this one was having just seen all the audience scores and everything else, I actually enjoyed it. I don't know what it is about it. It's a stupid movie. Maybe it is because of Natasha and how stunning she is, but I don't think the effects are that bad. I think the idea that they're sort of hunting after her, and there's a lot of video games have come since something like this, you know, like Aliens, that where the people go after him. It never makes any sense, because if you've got this alien being with unlimited strength, health, and you know, everything else, why would you want to go after them? I know ultimately she does get killed in it, but it doesn't really, I can never get my head around why the humans, like in Predator and stuff like that, why would you even bother? You know, Predator is a great film, but I know they get thrust in and they've got no choice. They're not going there for that, for this alien taking over. But then you see the other ones, but with this, it just works. There's some silly bits, some great flesh, let's be honest. So I think I'll put it in the middle, Dave. I'm going to put it in the Hill Valley. I don't think it's absolutely horrendous. I actually quite enjoyed watching the movie, and it was something to throw away. Would I watch it again? Probably not. I'd probably timestamp the bits I wanted to watch, Dave, but that's about it. What about yourself?
Well, Chris, I knew this had some link to Alien, but I just couldn't remember what it was, and I was just looking through there. So Hans Rudi Giger was involved with the Alien franchise, and he was the one who created Syl's character. So yeah. I think that's kind of a lot to do with the similarities, if you like. A lot of the effects, I mean, when Syl goes full alien, she is basically like a sexy xenomorph, isn't she?
Yeah.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty much what I thought it would be back in the early or mid to late 90s, and never got to watch then. But yeah, I think it's really enjoyable. I think the effects hold up really well. I think the fact that they, I don't know if they intended to do it, but the fact that they make it a little bit debatable, like, who is the good guy and the bad guys kind of thing. You know, you can kind of empathize with Syl's plight to kind of escape initially, you know, and she was created by these mad scientists, you know, it's a bit of a Frankenstein thing, isn't it? But I thought the music, the tension, we didn't speak about when they tried to just create the alien DNA, but without the human bit in the lab, you know, and I thought it was tense there where it kind of escaped, and you know, Michael Madsen and the girl Heidenberger, or what was her name, something Berger, were trapped in there. I thought that was tense and good. So yeah, I think for I guess I went in thinking it was a bit lower budget than it was. I mean, 35 million is not a bad budget. So, and that's, I guess, you know, this is just before Event Horizon. So I think this is when studios thought horror sci-fi should have big budgets with it, but I just don't think there's that much of an audience for it. So I think the horror things that we get to see now, the movies, the series and whatever, tend to be a bit lower budget, don't they? But I think for me, it's a Hill Valley as well. I think that, you know, good solid movie. I don't think it deserves some of the shit that it's obviously got there for the poor ratings. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyable, Chris.
Yeah, no, good pick, Dave. Good pick. Now, next week is our great friend, Mr. Tony Farina, Dave. So what has Tony got in store for us?
So, Chris, Tony has been chomping at the bit for us to do this one for a little while. And I must admit, it's another one that I've not actually seen, but it's been on the list for years to actually, you know, go back and watch it. It's by the creators of Beavis and Butthead. And I have to say, Chris, fucking loved Beavis and Butthead back in the day, watching a bit of, you know, MTV was my go-to channel. And, you know, exposed me to a lot of the new bands and stuff that I hadn't heard. And I just thought the pair of them, Beavis and Butthead, were so funny back in the day. But this one, Chris, is called Office Space. Now let's get into the trailer.
Nice intro.
From Mike Judge, creator of Beavis and Butthead and co-creator of King of the Hill, comes a movie about people who go to work.
Ah!
who are part of a team.
And remember, next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day.
Okay, but I could set the building on fire.
Who respect their boss.
We need to talk about your flair.
Well, I have 15 pieces on.
15 is the minimum. Brian, for example, has 37 pieces of flair on today. And a terrific smile.
And need to escape.
I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
Ryan Reynolds.
One of these days, I just keep these pieces.
I'm thinking now it might be more fun to just get fired. And I've always wondered what that would take.
Oh, Peter, listen.
It looks like you've been missing quite a bit of work lately.
Well, I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
That's just a straight shooter with upper management written all over him.
We're going to be getting rid of these people here. Mr. Samir. Okay.
I'm screwed from Wall Street, guy.
Not
going to
work here anymore anyway.
You haven't been showing up and you get to keep your job.
Actually, I'm being promoted.
Thank you, Bob.
This is a... It sucks!
They're gonna throw you out on the street so that Bill Lumberg's stock will go up.
Ooh, it's completely unfair.
Inatech deserves to go down. We're just the guys to do it.
Tell me about that virus you're always
talking
about.
I'm gonna enjoy
that. One that could rip off the company for a bunch of money.
I'm not going to do anything illegal, Peter.
Illegal? Samir, this is America.
The worst they're going to do is they put you in a white-collar minimum security resort for a couple of months. You know they have conjugal visits there?
I might be showing them my old face.
Oh.
They let you have sex with women?
They sure do.
Okay, I'll do it.
Office Space.
I know you've been getting pretty depressed about your job and everything, and so I just wanted to tell you, good things can happen in this world. I mean, look at me.
Knowing that Jennifer Aniston's in it, that is class, Dave. And I look at this. Me and you, obviously, a lot of everyone knows, me and you did Back to the Office podcast covering Ricky Gervais in the UK office, the proper office.
Yeah.
And we covered all of them, and it's still out there if you want to listen to it. So I straight away, I'm thinking, oh, office vibes, Dave. You know, we both worked in offices. We know the bullshit, the politics. Over the years, that comes with when you are in an office. Hence why I work outside most of the time now, Dave, because I can't stand all that shit. But when you watch someone make it into a movie or a TV show and it's still relevant, this could probably still be relevant now. So I'm quite looking forward to this.
Yeah, definitely. I think that kind of corporate world and obviously Jennifer Aniston's job it looks equally frustrating there. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. And I remember watching the trailer. I remember thinking, I should definitely watch that. And it's just one of those that just you keep sort of forgetting about. It keeps dropping off your radar. So really looking forward to actually sitting down and watching this one.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you. Honestly, mate, great pick this week. And Tony, good pick, my friend. Never seen it, never even heard of it. And that's the first time going at it. So I'm looking forward to watching this one. I might not by the time we record this, Dave, but at the moment it looks promising and it looks like a bit of fun change. So no, I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, if you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you follow us on social media @vhsstrikesback. Please get over to your podcast catching app, guys. If you've got time, drop us a review on our podcast. We love them, good, bad, especially the bad ones. We'll always read them out if people are slating us both. It's such good fun. And if they slate Dave more than me, I enjoy that even more, and I'll read it out. But then again, Dave enjoys it if they slate me more than him. So it's the end of our way. If you get a chance, please do that. If you want to support us, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honour for today is, and a big thank you to Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jax, Math, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Freeman. So thank you to everybody who supported the podcast. You guys who are Patreons, we really appreciate, past and present. Honestly, it's so nice when we see so many good comments. And we've got quite a lot of people who have switched over from our other podcast, CD Reality Cast, the Comics in Motion, who come over and just want to listen to a pair of bellends talk about movies. So thank you, guys. And Dave, I've got to say, Dave, one thing I've got to ask you, Dave, what are you going to take us out with today?
Well, Chris, there's a moment where Dr. Laura Baker is talking to Preston, and they're trying to call the guy and let him know that this person is Syl, and Dr. Baker says, I've got his machine. Should I leave a message? And he does in his best Mr. Blonde voice. Yeah. Tell him he's about to copulate with a creature from outer space. Chris, I still don't know if that would have changed the outcome. But thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's not.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ring the bell.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.